out. And hey, it's recording right now.
In the car.
We're on a mission for BB.
Woo!
And recording the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club.
Woo!
We just had a meeting on November 24th. Dude, did I just miss it? I can't remember which turn it is.
If it's not this one, then...
Let's go down this one.
Just in case. Yeah. This also happened to me when I was walking through Avery's. I'm just like, wait, am I going the wrong way or the right way?
That's right. So, every Tuesday at 10, we have a meeting of the Nerd Minds in San Carlos online.
Woo!
And BB is our inspirational mascot.
Hell yeah, I am!
Are we getting close?
Wrong way or right way or right way?
It seems like where you're going has a green thing. Is that it right there? That's it right there.
It is.
It is. All right.
So I'm just pulling up too.
So we're going to drop you off at your friend's house. And I will see you tomorrow.
Yes, you will.
And I will see you people on next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday.
Until then, tech on.
Tech on.
That works.
So who's turning 15?
Emily did.
When?
She just turned 15 on the 22nd.
Oh, wow.
Can you believe it?
Zero?
We just had it. In fact, I don't know if you saw the announcement that went out with last week's post yesterday. I finally got it out. And it is probably the least organized, least cleaned up post I've done on one of our meetings because my week has just been insane, full of all kinds of stuff going on. And my wife's double that. It's not fair of me to take any credit because she's really the one that's made it all happen. But one of the things I was left in charge of was building this remembrance video that is a slideshow of her life. And that's all I had to work with. I had no other instruction than that. So I'm a technical person and slightly creative person on the side. I'm much better with direction. I like it when people come and tell me exactly what they're trying to do and want me to figure it out. But when there is no direction, it's like, well, we're going to do a timeline. We're going to go right from her. We're going to do it from when she was born to this moment now. And now how am I going to organize it? Because I've got 754 pictures ready to go.
Part of it last week on our meetings.
Yeah,
so.
You saw some of that. Yeah. You know, what I did in typical hobbyist technical person fashion is I spent the majority of my time learning how to use the software to do special effects and things that I never put into the presentation. Here's my planning for such a project. I'm obviously not a video producer by heart because I had regimentally allowed myself 4 to 5 minutes for the presentation, and by the time I was done, it was 10 minutes. So there you go. But the software, yeah, I was concerned it was going to be too long, but it worked out really well. Everybody enjoyed it. And as you can imagine, what we're doing is we're having this quinceanera outside in my mother-in-law's lot, and I have a big screen blowing up on one end of it. And we've got like less than 30 people, and they're all social distanced. So it's not like we're all gathering in clumps of people. We're not all gathering together to watch this presentation. Everybody's spread out. So maybe it was a great way to pass the time since we're just sitting there anyway. But 10 minutes worked out real well.
Are you sending out something about your blog on Thursdays? Is that what you said?
Well, what I do is when we have a meeting, then I take the next few days. I'd like to just do it all in the same day, but I just haven't had enough time. But I write a blog post that includes links to the things we've talked about, articles for additional reading. I've also been including the recommendations that we make. So if somebody brings up a TV show, a movie, a website, I put that in the post. And then I take the audio from our meeting. And I like to take the time to go through and just cut out blank spots. I mean, just our pauses and our technical problems. So it's just pure conversation. And then what I've been doing up till this last meeting is I've been having a moment with my youngest daughter, and she and I have been doing an intro to the computer club. And so we do an audio intro for about 2 minutes, and I paste that on the front of our meeting, and I put all that together and publish that as a post that ends up being a podcast in like the iTunes store or the Google Play store.
So you're not sending something out when you do it?
Well, I guess I'm not sending it out by email. No, I'm putting it on our website, and it's inconsistent. We could get done with this meeting. I know it's not going to happen, but I could get done with this meeting and turn right around and do all that within 24 hours. Or more to form for the last few weeks is it'll be out before this meeting starts. To be fair, yesterday I was pulling my hair out because we had been up until 12:30 at night the night before with the quinceanera, and I still hadn't put out the posts since last week's meeting. And so I was just like a zombie, and I just kind of squirted all over it. I just like, I'm dealing with a quinceanera. This is the rawest form podcast you'll get. It's finally out. It's got to be out before tomorrow's meeting. Blah, blah, blah. I did the intro myself. This is the intro. BB will be back next week. Here's the meeting. Hey, Jim, we saw you pop in. Say a couple of words. We can test your microphone.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. Doing good. You sound great. Good. Everybody sounds great this morning.
I thought I'd take just a second and have breakfast, so I turned the camera off.
Certainly. Yeah, go right ahead. We're still kind of testing. We got 10 minutes before we're going to officially start.
All right.
So
Fred, Paul, how are you guys?
Oh, fine. So Sunday was my birthday, and my wife and her sister made a Zoom meeting with my four daughters and my sister. But my sister-in-law, Kathy, is our local tech person, and she set it up. But we had two laptop computers involved because one, the microphone worked, and the other, the camera worked. And so she daisy chained them to the big TV, the 50-inch TV, so we could all watch it. And it came off. But in order to do this as a surprise, they sent me down to my laboratory where I have my computer, and told me not to come up till they called me up. And when I got upstairs, there was decorations all over, and the Zoom meeting was in full function.
That's awesome.
Pretty fun.
So, Paul, your birthday was on Sunday?
The 22nd, yeah.
You share the birthday with my daughter.
Is that right?
We were celebrating your quinceanera on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Well, my birthday is the day after Bruce Tilley's birthday. I don't know if you knew Bruce.
I did know Bruce, yeah. Are they still around? It seems like
Bruce is up in heaven or hell, one or the other.
That's right. I seem to remember seeing something like that.
But Giggles is still there, yeah. I don't know. She might be in Arizona during the winter.
Just San Carlos trivia, they were probably my first customer.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I think I was asked to go help them with a computer in Loma del Mar before I had even started helping people with computers.
What about Bill Schiff? Oh, when did you help him?
Jeannie is here.
Oh, okay.
He fell walking the dog or something and broke her. No.
I started helping Bill after I got business cards.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Both Bill and Jeannie and Bruce, those two parties represent a time period where I was still working for the school. I was a kindergarten teacher, and I was freelancing with computer consulting.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So that was in the 90s?
Huh? Yeah, that was 96, 97.
Wow. Oh, really?
98, so, too. 96 to 98.
So, Judy, I couldn't understand what Giggles broke. It was her leg?
Her leg.
Walking
so
the dog?
Up, no?
Yes.
That's bad. Yeah, that's the trouble with that the surface that we have to walk on there.
Attacane is pretty rough.
Hey,
and
Judy.
Now we have speed bumps in front of my house, so.
Well, that's good, because you always drive too fast anyway. So.
I thought it was me. I caused it.
Do you have trucks come through the park yelling corn for sale, corn for sale, best corn around?
No.
You get that in the Ranchitos.
We just have 20-ton water trucks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the water comes in, the propane comes in, but we have a guy that comes in and delivers vegetables once a week, like Tony used to do.
Oh, that's nice. That's a great service.
Tony did it, but people didn't like his music. He played La Cucaracha horn.
Ah.
So they sent him out of the park.
That is, you know, I living in the Ranchitos, I get all of that. I get the espresso and el vigía. They have little cars that run through the Ranchitos with blowhorns, blowing the headlines, extra, extra.
Well, see, I hear that because it goes down the road to Lomas del Mar, you know, so.
Sure,
and
yeah.
And paving part of the main road to Loma del Mar. They're paving it right now.
Oh, yeah. Really? That's actually right out front of our, of the turn to our place. So we've been having to navigate that corner to get into the Ranchitos. But that's great. I don't care. I don't care if it takes a year. Just fix the road. Make a real road.
I have to go over Canadian Hill, you know, up there to get out of here.
Oh, Judy, I wanted to ask, you're on an iPad, right? So how are we looking today?
Good.
Yeah?
Look good.
Here's Mom. Say again, Judy.
I have a non-technical question to ask.
Well, this
how
is
do
the
I
group.
The bees have now become my hummingbird feeder.
The bees are attacking your hummingbird feeder.
Yes.
Hi, Mom. We're deep in tech discussion right now. Good to see you, or to not see you. Glad you're here.
Oh, so I need to stay? I can't go back to bed?
Nope. You got to get up.
I'm not even talking yet here.
You're involved now.
All right.
I just went out and put mentholatum on. Because that works for a little bit until the bees get it all off with their wings, and then it's gone. So
wait till there's murder hornets.
I don't know. I just know how to keep bats from drinking it, and that's by taking them in at
that's,
night.
Well, actually, I have a basket, so I take them down, put the basket over the top, and they don't bother that. So, but yeah, but the bees have just gotten here in the last 3 days.
I haven't seen any bees around my place yet.
Oh, knock on wood.
So, Judy, I have a little bit of a bone to pick with you about last week's recommendations.
On what?
Well, I was recommending the Trump show, and you were Googling me on the fly. And
yes.
You're like, it's canceled. It's canceled.
That's
I know. You're reading Google search results live on the fly. And I'm like, I don't know what she's talking about. And so later I go back and I do the same Google, and it does. It says cancel, cancel, cancel. But if you were to click on any of those articles, it is a theme in mainstream media talking about the Trump show. The presidency has been canceled and has absolutely nothing to do with the show I was recommending. And yes, I applaud that as well. But I just wanted to say you're moving too fast.
And I wanted to ask Fred how his update went to Big Sur.
Oh, yeah. Did you do it?
Fred?
You haven't done it yet?
Not yet.
Oh, I thought that was what it was trying to do when it was doing your whatever it was doing last week.
Believe it or not, I haven't been on my computer since last week. I've been doing everything either on my phone or this thing. It's easier on my iPad than it is on my computer.
Oh, you bring up a very good topic about the new Macintoshes that we should talk about today. Hey, Cheryl, glad you could make it. I hope she's hearing us okay. Yes, I brought some topics that I wanted us to talk about last week, but we got so involved in other topics that we never got to it. But I think we should spend some time talking about the new Macintoshes that were launched. It directly relates to what Fred was just saying about it being easier on the iPad than on the laptop. And I also want to make sure we get a chance to talk about Google Photos again, because things are changing there. And we should all be aware of it, specifically because Google Photos has been one of my main recommendations. There are changes that fundamentally change the way you behave with Google Photos, and that's going to be coming up June 21st. But we already know what those changes are going to be. So you can plan accordingly.
June or January?
What's that? Did I say January?
You said June.
I thought it was June. Yeah, June 1st.
Okay.
I wrote down June 1st. Hold on a second. Let me double check.
I did the latest update on my iPad, and I was pleasantly surprised when I opened an email that had an attachment, and I clicked on the attachment, and it asked me if I wanted to send it to print rather than having to go through a long hassle to print. Hey, so that was good.
Hey, guys, I just hit the stream button. It's 10 o'clock, and this is the San Carlos Computer Club. I'm Scott Stimson with International Computer Solutions, hopefully here to add something to the discussion. Hopefully I can be a little bit of a tech oracle for you. If not, I'll try and fake it. We meet every Tuesday at this time, 10 o'clock, and we are live online. But nobody's watching except for me, so we can still keep it personal. And then it'll be on record forever. We've just been sharing our own tech experiences and non-tech related experiences. Judy's trying to get rid of bees. You got any ideas, Cheryl? Did you hear that her bees are attacking her? Well, the bees are attacking her hummingbird feeder.
Oh, okay. We used to have wasps, and the solution for wasps on your hummingbird feeder was to rub it down with vegetable oil.
Say again, Judy.
Sam's calls are driving me. I was telling Cheryl that I just put methylatum all over it, and that works for a while.
Yeah, yeah. That was the only thing that we did was it just made it slippery, so they fell off. Was one thing, but it kept them off of it, not because they were repelled, but because they couldn't get any footing to drink all the stuff.
Good idea. I'll try that next.
Has anyone ever heard of the old wasp nest solution that's so simple? If you have an overhang, the wasps tend to like to build their nests there. So if you paint the bottom surface, in other words, the ceiling above you, of any overhang on your house, a light shade of blue, then the wasps think it's the sky, and they don't build their nests there. It's done in many southern plantations in the U.S.
Okay, Mom, are you listening to that? Yeah, I beg to differ, Dave.
Well, we have blue trim, and they still like to make nests in that.
We've got sky blue trim on the bed and breakfast, and we're still dealing with wasps along the, what's that area called, the edge there? The eve. So well, who knows? Maybe we would have a bigger problem if we didn't have it blue. I'm sorry, Judy. I didn't mean to cut you off.
But hey, it works for bats as well.
The now blue, that the bats we have not had. We haven't had bats.
Yeah. Or tigers.
No, that's true, too.
It works really good on tigers. Sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
Is that elephant repellent working for you, too?
That's right.
Elephant. We don't have elephants around, so maybe so.
I have a subject to talk about.
Hey, before you get started, Paul, let's just make sure the whole group knows. Paul had a birthday on Sunday, the same day as my daughter's quinceanera. Happy birthday, Paul.
Happy birthday.
Paul, now that we got all these people on, can you show everybody your shirt again?
Sure.
I turned 80 we can't see the bottom of it.
I turned 80
in quarantine. 2020.
And there's the masks on the zero.
None of you are invited. That's great.
We have friends that they're expecting a grandchild, and she bought the little one a onesie, and it says, born 2020, my mommy and daddy didn't social distance.
That's great. Apparently not.
Cute.
Paul, you were going to say something? You had a topic?
Yeah, because my insurance company, which is State Farm, sent me an invitation to order a device called a Ting. And the Ting plugs into the wall, and it connects to my telephone, and it tells me the condition of the wiring in my house. And this is what is what my phone tells me.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
And it gives me the voltage, high and low voltage.
What you're currently at.
Yeah. And there's another screen. It's real time. The volts. And it says hi-fi, but I think they mean Wi-Fi.
Hi-fi. So, huh.
It couldn't be hi-fi. It must be Wi-Fi.
Unless it's their own internal terminology. Maybe that's some vocabulary used in Ting specifically to identify something.
I don't know.
Yeah, it seems odd that it would be monitoring Wi-Fi. But I think what it's trying to show you is the typical voltage range. Like when it's
that's the top graph is voltage. Bottom one says hi-fi.
Yeah, and it sure doesn't. Yeah, I wonder what that is. But that's
what
awesome.
What is the name of this app?
But it gave me a report that my Wi-Fi went out for 10 minutes each of 2 days last week.
And is that from your? It gave you a report on your Wi-Fi being out.
Yeah, well, it's connected to the Wi-Fi.
Sure. Wow, that's really cool, Paul. That looks like it would be a killer app around here. I wonder if you can... You said your insurance company provided that for you.
Yeah, so 3-year subscription. It's from Whisker Laboratories. Strange name.
So are you paying for it or is your insurance paying for it?
I'm not paying a dime for it for the first 3 years. And they said that the typical fee is like $300 and something the first year and $100 the following years.
Oh, this requires much more research.
What it detects is any arcing in the electrical system. So if you have an outlet that's going bad on you and arcing, it'll put a hot spot on that picture of the wiring in your house.
Well, does that picture represent your house fairly adequately, or did you have to configure that?
Well, we have a two-story house, and it shows that. I don't know if it knows that or if that's just a standard picture.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I have two questions. So they provide you the thing that plugs into the wall and had you download the app on your phone, and they're monitoring it. This is your home insurance policy so that they make sure your home is safe?
Yes, it's fire safety.
And then they will, like the feedback that you get is you have a concern here and then it's expected that you will fix it. What happens if you don't address it? Is your insurance company going to say it was your fault?
Well, they will.
That's an interesting question. Kind of like they've got a hold of your medical records. How come you keep eating cheeseburgers?
This is the amazing thing. If it does show a hot spot, they will notify their certified electrician locally, and they will come out and fix it. And Ting pays for the first $1,000 of repair.
Really?
So
wait, is that Ting or your insurer?
I think Ting, well, this is all literature from Ting saying that they will do it. I'm amazed.
That's amazing.
So it's a service. It's not just an app and a monitor. It's a service included.
The service, yeah. And so anything that gives me an alert gives them the same alert.
Yeah, it's almost like they've got a subcontract with your insurer. Like the insurer's gonna subsidize them because the insurer knows if your house is healthy, they're not going to have to do any payouts with you.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, it's a preventative, and somebody must have done a cost-benefit analysis of paying for the first $1,000.
So this is called Ting. I'm going to actually write that down on our recommendations list. I want to do some more research on it. Just alone, the ability to monitor the fluctuations of electricity seems to me to be a killer app we'd want to have in San Carlos. If it's not too expensive for the equipment, regardless of insurance company, that might be something people want to get into around here.
Yeah, go tell them about it at Hambones. that's who insures our house.
How do you spell that?
Ting, T-I-N-G.
Okay, so I'm looking that up and I can't find anything.
The mother company is Whisker Laboratories.
Whisker Laboratories, Ting Whisker Laboratories. I think I found it. Oh yeah, this is it right here. So it's got that same photo you were showing us. No hazards detected, electrical fire hazard present. Oh, man. Can you imagine getting this, plugging it in, and having it just flag fire hazards around your house?
That would be bad.
Well, that would be San Carlos. We've got some of the weirdest wiring around.
It might show reverse polarity and stuff like that. I don't know.
Ting sensing technology measures electromagnetic data at 27 million times per second, recognizing fluctuations, and it's using the servers. So it's collecting, wow, that's really impressive. It's collecting electromagnetic data from its sensor. How many sensors did you plug in?
One.
Just one. So it's using that one sensor to detect. Did you fill out a profile? Did it actually ask you, Like, how many rooms do you have in your house? How many stories?
No,
they didn't do any of that.
No. So that's the same picture that they portray. So that,
yeah, this one on the
homepage.
That's
a standard picture of a house layout.
Yeah.
State Farm knows how many rooms in the house.
I can't find it.
Oh, it's whiskerlabs.com to see the technology, Mom.
Oh, thanks.
If you type in technology with State Farm, it comes up too.
Okay.
So maybe some other companies do it too. If you write to Whisker Laboratories, they might tell you, but I don't think Pambone is one of them.
I would assume not, but this is very cool. I think we could really use that. I've got a surge protector that has a monitor on it, and anytime I feel like electricity is odd, I run over to see what it says on that monitor. I wonder if you can integrate it. I bet they've got some kind of an echo integration. So that you could get a notification on your smart speaker if something had gone wrong. Paul, you said you got a notification your Wi-Fi went out. Was that through email, text message?
Okay, at the bottom of the page, it has home, notifications, news, real time, and history. And notifications is this.
Hold it up there for a second. Let's see here. Okay. Yeah, it shows you when your Wi-Fi's been on or off. That's cool. I could see a lot of benefits from that. Package of information. They must be able to add things to it as well. I bet that'll, if it doesn't, isn't there yet, I bet it'll be coming.
Here's the home history. So on the 20th and the 21st, it has little indicators there that I guess are when the internet went out. I just put it in last week.
Well, we're going to ask you for an update on your experiences periodically. I want to hear more as you learn more.
Hey, Paul, does it give them graphs over the month or just daily?
Welcome, Jim.
Just the real-time graph.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. Perfect.
I would hope part of the service, if you're paying for yourself, I would hope they're collecting that historic data, too, so that you could look at what happened to your electricity last week when everything burned out in your studio. You find out.
So the Hi-Fi, it says it's running between 5 and 7. And I didn't do a speed test. I have it linked to my Wi-Fi upstairs, which is a weak signal down here.
Okay.
But I wanted it to be the primary Wi-Fi.
Did they give you an instruction of where to put the device when they gave it to you?
They say not to put it near any appliances, so the kitchen wall would not be a good place to do it. So I have it down here in my laboratory.
Consider
a mad scientist laboratory.
I'm curious if they consider an optimal placement of that style device. Since you've only got the one sensor, it really is reading magnetic, electromagnetic fluctuations across that one line of copper it's plugged into.
Apparently, if you have one panel, you only need one device.
Oh.
If you have two panels, you need two devices.
I just think that's amazing. They don't even have an interview like how many circuit breakers you have in that panel. I would think that would be pertinent to know, too.
No, but if you have a bad circuit breaker, it'll tell you. It says that if it tells you that there's an outlet that's bad, you go and feel the wall. If the wall feels hot, you better get that electrician out.
Oh, that's interesting. I wonder if that kind of thinking would work around here. You know, we put our electrical cables in mangueras, and they're carved out of cement walls. And if you have a line of outlets, they're all at the baseboard, these hoses. But then that main hose just comes in from somewhere.
Well, in Loma del Mar, there's a pedestal.
A pedestal at the top of your house?
No, it's all subterranean.
Oh, okay.
So you know how a trailer park has pedestals for power?
I don't. I'm not certain what I'm sitting in a trailer now. I don't know what a pedestal for power is. And well, that is a cool recommendation. I'm going to find more information about it. I think a device like that would be a real big deal around here. And Bill has joined us, and Linda has joined us, and Jim has joined us. Is Caroline going to come join us as well? She's here listening to us. You're on mute. Oh, there she is. Hi. And we've just been talking random topics like we typically do. Oh, I've got somebody coming in. Hello? It's not somebody. It's my printer going off. Somebody's printing something out in my office right now. And
it's ghost prints.
Ghost prints. That's right. It's reminding me that we've run out of ink in the in-house printer, and so they're printing in my office now.
I have a question. It's about Google Meet. I'm sitting here and I see your screen, which now has my picture on it because I'm speaking. And I can see all the other cameras, but from my computer, like Judy's is just a J and Sandy's is just an S. And then every so often it'll come back and be the actual video. But it's
because I have my camera off and I have my voice off. On right now, you can see me.
Oh, Linda.
I can't see you yet, but there's only so many. Oh, there you are. There's only so many screens, so many that go on the screen. Judy's down at the bottom of my screen now.
Oh, now I'm turning off my video and I'm going to go to just a J.
Oh, okay. But see, it doesn't seem to be at the same time as what Scott's seeing it, is what I was thinking. I was wondering if, like, what I see is different than what I see on Scott's.
Yeah, I think each one of us sees something different. Because of the order in which people have appeared on your screen. Each one of these sessions, you're having a different experience. That's kind of why I try and encourage you to look at my screen, and I'll kind of guide the meeting so we're all kind of following the same presentation. Because your presentation through Google Meet, Linda could be up in the upper right-hand corner.
I understand that the layout might be different, but it's the actual, like, I was wondering if, for instance, if Jim Cunningham had actually turned off his camera or if it's just because mine isn't seeing it.
He got up and left. And do you see his empty chair? Because I see an empty chair. So this is another thing that Google Meet can do. And we experienced this with me when I was having internet problems, is his camera's on right now. But I think you're having an internet problem at this moment, or at least his ability to send you information has been dialed down to just his icon. Like your Meet is trying to save bandwidth and it sees there's no movement and you don't have a lot of extra bandwidth, so it's dialed it down to just an icon.
Oh, okay. So when people are sitting still or whatever, it seems to just go to their icon. Because I wondered if they were doing it themselves or if it was because they hadn't moved.
Little circle picture of Jim and Linda.
Of Jim and Linda?
Yeah, that's all I have, a circle. And then I have a circle of whoever is in the yellow canoe.
Yellow canoe.
The yellow pile.
Paul Gregory.
No canoe here.
Okay. So, Linda, that's Paul. Paul, you have a picture of you in a canoe?
There is a picture of it. I'm looking at myself on the tiles here, and I'm not moving. So, I guess.
Now you're moving for me. You were frozen for a moment there.
Scott got her round picture now.
Yeah. I wanted to say that if you look at the gadget bar underneath the pictures on the right is three dots. If you press those three dots and go up to the second item, it's changed layout. And if you click on that, then it says auto, tiled, and spotlight. Spotlight shows you the speaker. Except now I don't see me. Got a frog in my throat here.
Well, you're anyway. You're on my screen right now.
Okay,
and...
but if you do auto, then it puts composite picture up in the left-hand tile, and it shows other people tiled. And then if you do tiled, it shows that, but spotlight shows you the speaker.
Okay, but on the tiles, you can put how many you want. So I just busted it up from 9 to 16.
Also.
How do you change how many tiles you can have?
There's a potentiometer at the bottom.
However, none of that's true on an iPad.
Ah, look at that. What if I just max it out?
Oh.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that existed.
Thank you, Linda.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Thank you, Paul.
This is why I come to the computer club.
I can't slide my pot.
That's great.
So now four pictures across the top.
I've got three across the top and four down.
No, I have four across and three down.
Four across and three down.
Yeah, that's what I have.
Well, it's probably because I've got mine squished together so that it'll look good on an iPad for Judy.
Oh, Judy.
So it's stacked mine 3x4, same number of faces. Well, you can see it. If you're looking at my presentation, you can see what I've got. I've got 3x4.
I can see yours.
Yeah.
I see 3x4, and then you're big.
Oh, I do have a visitor now.
No, your mother.
Oh, here comes Yuya.
Hello.
Hello, Yuya.
Sorry, we have a computer emergency. We don't have ink. How you guys doing?
I have a question for Yuya.
Yes. Oh, Paul.
This is Paul. Yeah. Am I a residente permanente yet?
When are you coming back?
I don't know. Maybe in the spring.
Okay.
Now I'm in San Pedro, California. But I saw where you helped somebody get the residente permanente. So that means the office is functional now.
Yeah. We are. I'm still on by appointment only. But I've been helping people. And,
well, I'll let you know when if and when I come back.
I'll email you.
Okay.
Hi, everybody.
Bye bye.
Sorry for the interruption.
No, you're always welcome. Yuya and her services, if you're needing help with translations, trusts, or immigration, you should call Yuya.
I was going to ask her if she had fun last week running around with Jim.
You hear her? She's laughing in the background.
Okay, Scott. She certainly helped us.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that, Jim. Bill, what were you going to add?
Okay, I have my ongoing internet problem. I have an update that maybe you can help me with now.
Okay.
I have three different computers monitoring the internet. I have a little internet monitor on my browser. My main computer has been working. They all three have been working just fine with maybe one blip in it, one dropout. And then all of a sudden, my main computer decided that yesterday it was not going to be much help. It blipped out about 12 times. I got 12 signals of dropped internet. I checked. Now, the second computer is hooked direct to the LAN. It wasn't on the internet. I've had no interruptions on it at all. And the Cheryl's machine is on the internet and on the wireless. It had no drops. Only my machine at my desk dropped out yesterday.
So
16 times.
Just intuitively, is Cheryl closer to the Wi-Fi than you are?
No.
No?
We're about equal distance, and she's in another room, so it's through a wall for her. Not for me. I'm about 12 feet from the router.
You're like turning your head and looking at the router from where you are.
Yes, it's right there. It's about 12-foot line of sight.
If you happen to have like a USB wireless device or can borrow one from somebody if you didn't want to have to go out and buy one, just to plug that into your current computer and see if that resolves your problem. An external, like a USB wireless device.
Like a mouse?
Like what?
A USB, a Wi-Fi card that's USB. You can just add by USB. There, a Wi-Fi antenna you can add by USB. I'm sorry, I'm...
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, so
I have a USB wireless dongle.
Okay, can I go back and say it's not an antenna? It's just I needed to make it clear what it was I was talking about, but it's not an antenna, okay? I mean, it includes an antenna, but it is a Wi-Fi card that you're adding by USB. It has its own antenna, and that dongle is what I was suggesting, is plug that in and see if you can get connected to your router using that device. I'd actually turn the other device off so there's no confusion. On your, this is your laptop, right?
What are you plugging the dongle into?
Into the USB port of the laptop. But you should have the ability to turn off your Wi-Fi on your laptop. There's probably a button for Wi-Fi or a key combination on the keyboard where you can hold down an FN key and a Wi-Fi key, and that would turn off your Wi-Fi on the laptop. We're doing real-time troubleshooting. Bill, we're going to leave you with that, and you're going to give us a status update, and I'm going to move on to recommendations. Anybody reading, listening, watching, doing anything you think the rest of us should know about? That was a big intro for nothing. Come on, guys. I put a lot of passion into that.
What is your current sci-fi recommendation?
I'm sorry, hold that thought for a second, Jim. Cheryl, did you have something to contribute?
Great introduction.
Thank you. Well,
we just lost him.
Who'd we lose?
You.
Me? I'm gone?
Yep. He's there.
I got you.
Are you talking about the video of me?
The logo.
I'm right here. Linda, you know what? It sounds like what you're experiencing is that it's cut off the video for you, maybe a bandwidth issue.
No, you just came back on.
Maybe I'm just phasing in and out. The most pleasing thing of this Google meeting so far is learning how to get all of you on the screen at the same time. this is only the 38th meeting we've had in quarantine. So I'm glad we're finally figuring out how to do it.
Yeah.
You were going to talk about Max?
Yes, I was going to talk about Max. And since we don't have any recommendations, I'm putting Paul's app Ting in the recommendations list.
I have more information. I was looking at the curves there, and it has Hi-Fi. It says Hi-Fi is one of nearly 100 parameters Ting measures to monitor your home's electrical. Hi-Fi is sensitive to high-frequency electrical noise.
Ah, there you go.
Home's electrical network. Hi-Fi is often very sensitive to arcing that's happening in your home.
Oh, wow. So if you were having peaks, maybe that means there's some damage going on.
Right, but not all arcing is dangerous. For example, when you turn on a light switch, an arc is often created that is completely safe. You might see Hi-Fi respond when you flip the light switch. Motors, appliances, dimmers, and other devices can also create arcing that is safe.
So your fridge compressor, your air conditioners, things like that might cause that fluctuation. Right. That's very interesting. So, no movies, no TV shows, nothing. I've got a huge collection of stuff I have from previous weeks that I'm still trying to get through. So
I've been able to get The Mandalorian on Disney Plus.
That's what we need to talk about is, yes, you've got Disney Plus in Mexico now. Which
I do.
It's amazing. It's like Netflix in that you can use the same account. And I saw some promo. I didn't investigate it, but I saw some promo from Infinitum that gave me hope that maybe Disney Plus will be a free service as part of your Infinitum contract.
I did see that as well. So
if you guys aren't aware, if you've got Infinitum, there's a very good chance you have a free Netflix account that comes with it. You definitely have a Claro Video account that's free that comes with it. But it would be great to add Disney Plus to that bundle as well. This is the way to market to Mexicans. They're not going to buy it. Just work out a deal with the distributor and make your money that way. Like, I'm sure Infinitum's paying Disney Plus some amount of money, not nowhere near as much as if we were buying it individually, but they've got those customers as well. But they've got this huge chunk of income just coming from Telmex because they want to offer it off to their customers as a buying incentive. Very cool. Had an interesting experience with Disney Plus. I went to install it on my generic Android TV box, you know, my Chinese streaming box. I'm sure, Linda, you're going to have this experience if you start messing around with Disney Plus. You may not find it in the Google Play Store. It seems to be only available on authorized devices. So it's very available on Fire TV devices. I'm assuming it's available on Roku, but I couldn't verify that myself personally.
That's how I watch
it. You're doing it on Roku? Okay, great. So we know it works on Roku.
So the new IPTV boxes from the company from Dreamlink,
yes,
they have it all on there now, coming out. The boxes just came out.
Oh, great.
You know how Roku goes. Once they start adding the stuff, then they make the other boxes all discontinued.
All the old Roku boxes.
Correct. Yeah. So they get you to buy new boxes all the time.
Did you get the packing, the stuff I dropped off to the office for you?
I just had the same thought. Thank you very much. That iPad is, or the iPod is awesome. It's very retro. My kids thought it was amazing. We immediately put it to use. We formatted it. It's an 80 gig classic, well, color iPod. The old school ones with the dial wheel on it. And I had my daughter, she was ripping songs from YouTube for Quincenera, and I had her just dump them all into the iPod. And the iPod was the DJ of the party on Sunday.
And how about your Roku device?
I haven't had a chance to plug it in and see what it's capable of. You told me it was antiquated.
It's never been used.
It's never been used, but it's out of date.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I'm not certain what its potentials are. It might actually get stripped for parts for something. But yeah, very cool.
Original Rokus, they're not good for anything.
I was going to say soldering projects. Like, my daughter's been interested in just working with soldering irons, working with screwdrivers. And so it may just get thrown in that bin of stuff that gets taken apart.
Good. Then she'll be remodeling when she gets to be our age.
She'll be doing what? Remodeling?
Remodeling. That's how I started, fooling around with things, and then I started remodeling.
Or maybe you'll be a welder.
I never did that.
Well, I appreciate both those thoughts. I was hoping robot engineer for NASA, but you know, she's my kid. That's what I was hoping.
So, Scott, I saw an article on the internet about recovering gold out of electronic stuff. Maybe you can use that.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid I don't live in an economy where we're melting down gold off of PC boards is economical.
My youngest daughter was mechanically inclined as a child, and now she's a crane operator in the port.
Oh, that's cool. Those jobs need to happen, too.
Those big gantry cranes.
I'll be the first one to praise plumbers and electricians and mechanics when they're doing good jobs, because those things need to happen. I can't do them. So one of my topics for today that I felt like we need to talk about is the changes that are coming to Google Photos. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to this, but Google has decided to start charging for their service that used to be free and unlimited. These are the high quality photos, the quality versus original quality, assuming that you have, I think high quality referred to 16 megapixel photos.
And are they photos in the raw?
Yeah, photos in the raw, you would be saving yourself and you'd already be paying for that space in Google. But if you allow Google to downgrade your photos, and I think it is 16 megabits, then you are having an incredibly large, unlimited space of all your photos could be up there in the cloud. And I used to recommend this. I still do, actually. Recommend installing Google Photos on all your mobile devices that take pictures and allow it to suck up your pictures into a Google account, because at the very least, those pictures have been backed up without you doing anything except setting up that software. Just by having the Google Photos app on your phone or your tablet, it will periodically upload the photos from your gallery into Google Photos, and you will have a backup of those photos. And 16 megabit photos are high quality. They are fine for cats and kids and grandkids and landscapes and quick shots. And that's the majority of the photos that normal people do, is they whip out their phone and take some photos real quick. And that's definitely high enough quality for those photos. So I've always recommended this ever since they announced Unlimited, but Unlimited is going away. So it's still a recommendation. It's just not as, it's for some people, it's a no-brainer. Now, one of the things this Unlimited has done is it's allowed you to download a little app, a little Google app called Backup and Sync into your laptop or into your computers and suck all the photos off of your photo app into Google Photos. So your folder of photos in a Windows computer, folder of photos, you would point it to that and it would take all the photos you've ever synced into your life all the way back. On your Macintosh, it would be everything that you see in iPhotos would be brought up. Well, actually, they call it Photos now, too. It's Apple Photos on your Macintosh. And then just by having it, because these are the apps that are used on the desktop. So you've got folders full of photos. You have to download this Google Backup and Sync, and it takes all those photos and puts them up in the cloud at high quality. And it used to be unlimited. It will continue to be unlimited until June 1st, 2021. And at which point, they're going to flip a switch, and you will only be allowed to store up to 15 gigabytes of space. I was looking at my photos. I have every photo I could imagine from my mobile devices throughout time. All the different Android phones I've had or iPhones, I've installed Google Photos. And I have sucked up every one of those photos in my life. We're probably talking about 12 years of photos from my phone. And mm-hmm. I am at less than half of 15 gigs to begin with. But what Google is doing is they know there are people out there that have sucked every photo out of their life into Google Photos. And they are, regardless of how much space you've used, they're going to continue to let you maintain those photos. So if you had 120 gigabytes of photos in Google Photos, they're going to let you keep that, but they're going to cut you off. I haven't gotten a clear understanding Oh, yes, I have. I'm reading it right here. They will not count against the 15 gigabytes, what you've already got up there. So that's good. That makes a lot more sense out of what other tech pundits were recommending, which is this: to download the backup in sync and put every photo up there before June 1st. You will have a cloud-based backup of all the photos in your life. It'll be backed up by Google servers, so you can't think of a... I mean, they're not in the habit of losing information, even though you'd prefer it sometimes. That is a better backup than you can be to those photos. And if you do it before June 1st, there's no constraints on space. And then come June 1st, you're going to be handed another 15 gigs. And that's if you need any more space beyond everything you're previously using and that 15 gigs, then you get into buying space from them. And I think somebody was telling me you could get a terabyte of space for something like $30 a year, which after you've got, you know, a quarter of a terabyte of pictures, that's kind of a no-brainer as far as backup system. That's a whole lot cheaper than getting external storage. And then if you add in your own stress and learning curve of having to take care of your own backups, that's a pretty cheap alternative for maintaining those photos.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
You have to take your phone and plug it into your laptop, right, and transfer the files.
No.
No,
all you have to do is load Google Photos as an app on your phone or your tablet.
Okay. Okay.
And the first time you run it, if it's an Android phone, you're already signed into a Google account. So that's going to be the default unless you change it. So just by installing the app and running it, and going through that first setup interview where it's saying, we do this, we do that. How do you want to save your photos? It'll give you the option, do you want to save in RAW or do you want to save in high quality? Now, high quality is the unlimited right now. And then it will suck down every photo that's in that device and put it up into their cloud. And you will look at Google Photos through the Google Photo app. You'll see all the same photos that you have in your gallery locally. But their version is actually a cloud version of it.
Okay, I thought you had to plug your phone into your laptop and load your photos all on there.
No, but you do. I mean, we all remember that used to be the way to deal with this kind of stuff. And so you have a collection of photos, whether you've gone back to it or not. If you have a laptop or desktop in your life, there's a photos folder full of photos that used to sync from your other devices and scans and photos that have been sent to you, things that you've collected. And so you can download this backup and sync app from Google Photos into your laptop, and you can run it against your photos folder and get all those backed up as well. Do it before June 1st so it doesn't count towards the 15 gigabytes.
And does this program automatically sync new photos?
It's two different paradigms. I guess I keep going back and forth. On your laptop, on your desktop computers, the paradigm is a backup program. So you're not working with photos per se. You're working with this one app that runs. You get very little feedback from it. You have no idea it's going on. You have to go looking for it to see it running, and it runs periodically. So it would, like on a Windows computer, it would sit down in the taskbar in the sys tray. It'd be a little icon showing that it's active. I haven't run it on a Mac, so I'm not sure how it shows that it's active on a Mac. It could be up in the menu bar. It might not, you know, some things on the Mac, they just don't even show you that it's running. It's just running. Point, it's Google Backup and Sync. Go to the webpage for photos.google.com under your Google account.
It says Google Backup and Sync in Play Store. Let me see what it comes
well,
up.
Well, no. In the Play Store, you should just – you can do that same paradigm, but you probably want to use Google Photos. Use Google Photos from the Play Store.
Okay. I already have that. Okay.
Yeah. So if you already have that, you're probably already syncing. If you want to see if you're already syncing, just go to the webpage photos.google.com, and you should see your collection of photos there already being synced to Google. On an iDevice, you will have to sign in with a Google account because you're not naturally signed into a Google account.
Oh, yeah. Here it is.
So the backup and sync for the PCs, that allows you to get every photo from your computer world up into a backup. And then Google Photos on your phones and tablets continue, it let you bring all the photos from your device into a backup and perpetually into the future. Every time you take a photo, it will be updated to Google Photos.
Yeah, what about duplicates?
I think it comes down to identical photos. If you have identical photos in your archive, then you have gone past the duplicate. I mean, you've got a duplicate. It's either got a different name or a different date or a different description, but it's the exact same picture. But it's that difference that's allowed you to have duplicates. That difference makes it the same, makes it a different photo, even though it's the same photo. That difference in title, or that screwed up date, or the fact that there's some description in your database that's different from the other one. They may be two of the same photo, but there's something, and so there is no way of distinguishing that I've seen with any of these programs. So both those photos would go up to Google Photos. But if you mean duplicates, like the next time it backs up, well, it will see that all those photos are already up there, and there's no reason to put those photos again.
Well, I was wondering about duplicates. Like, I have pictures on my phone. I also have them on my iPad.
If they're on the phone and the iPad, I'm imagining you're doing some sort of photo sharing with iCloud right now for that to happen. So those photos are actually the same photo. Even though they're on the two different devices, when Google tries to put them up, it will compare the date, time, title, and recognize that those already exist from the previous backup to the iCloud, or backup to the Google Cloud, backup to Google Photos. I'll get it right at some point. And won't bother to put them up again. It's a pretty easy recommendation, Google Photos. Even though they are changing things, Google looked at its line of users, looked at its customer base using photos, and they're convinced that they're convinced that 80% of Google Photo users don't use half of the 15 gigabytes they're offering. Being a real analytics company, you can bet they have picked numbers to make this as comfortable as possible. I'm imagining most people that are already using Google Photos isn't going to be affected by this. Well, and that's why I kind of started with my own life example. I've got photos that go back almost 12 years of mobile devices. And I haven't filled up half of 15 gigabytes. I'm part of that 80%.
So I just logged on to the Google Photos app, and I do have photos there, but they're back from 2011. There's nothing current, and there's nothing before that.
So do you have Google Photos installed on your devices? Maybe
I don't. No, I went to onephotos.google.com, and I have photos there, and it says I've used up half my space.
But they're all before 2011?
2008 to 2011.
Okay, and actually, you should not be using up space if you're using high quality, because that's unlimited.
So this... Right, because it was set for the other one. Hold on. It was set for... original, and if I change it to high quality, I can recover 2.4 megabits of Google account storage.
Gigabytes, I hope that is.
Megabytes.
Megabytes.
MB. MB.
I know that I know that when you store in the original quality, it counts towards your Google Drive space. So they give you 15 gigabytes of Google's Drive space, and up until recently, that's what you're whittling away. If you're doing original quality. Again, high quality I always recommend, because the majority of our photos are, like I said, they're cat photos or grandkid photos. They're on the fly photos. Most of us are not photojournalists or photo professionals who would be concerned about the raw, the actual highest possible original quality. Most of these photos we're talking about are coming off of cell phones. And high quality is more than adequate to have a backup without thinking about it.
So you think that those photos are actually on my Google Drive as opposed to Google Photos?
I don't think they're actually in the drive. But the space is taken from the drive space.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but that's the last time I looked at that stuff. That's the way I thought it was working.
All the photos are of one particular, well, when we went out on the pirate ship and, you know, back in 2011, they're all from that time frame pretty much.
So what probably happened is, what could have happened is you used to run Google Photos on that device. And when you upgraded devices, did you upgrade a device around 2011?
Probably.
So when you updated the device, maybe you didn't reinstall Google Photos. And so you haven't been syncing to Photos since then.
Mm, okay.
Okay. So I'm back. Sorry. I want to show you. Where are you guys?
Hey, there you are. Whoop. I just hit the wrong button if you guys were paying attention to my screen. Okay. What am I looking at? I'm looking at TikTok.
Oh, don't look at TikTok.
Google Photos. Okay. So you got Google Photos.
I have the iPhoto and the Google Photo, and I'm pointing at it with my mouse, and you guys... Okay, anyways. Yeah. So in that, when I go to Google Photo, there is a place where I can go, like, for example, Bill's Photos, and I gather it's the sharing part. But nothing has been... It says saving automatically, all photos. Last time it did it was Friday, August 28th, and it's very sketchy which ones it'll bring from another device. It seems like it's not saving automatically. The other problem I have is I have photos that have been sent to me, shared to me in Google Drive. Getting the Google Drive photo albums to Google Photo is not just as easy as saying go. It seems like I have to take each one, download it, put it in, save it. Like, it just is, it's become very, very overwhelming.
If you're dealing with photos in Drive, then you're probably dealing with them as file, not photos. And so the way that you would share them with somebody else is you'd actually share like a folder of photos that's in Google Drive. But then they would be receiving it in Google Drive. And so they'd be dealing with it as files and not as photos. I mean, they'd give you a preview and all that, but all the photos mechanisms that go around the paradigm of photos wouldn't actually be there. You would be dealing with it like a file system. So there's the file of that photo. I double click on it, gives me a preview of what's inside that file. It's the photo. You'd be able to copy, drag and drop. You'd be able to share it using the Google Drive sharing mechanism. But I wouldn't expect it to show up in Google Photos because it's on the drive.
So how do I save it to Google Photos iCloud? Because it's going to disappear off of her drive.
Well, yeah, you would want to grab those photos and drop them into your gallery. You'd want to get them on your device so that they can be synchronized with iCloud or with Google Photos.
So is that something I would use the backup and sync with?
Yeah, it could be. I'm not sure how that plays on the mobile device. That's definitely the way you could do it on your computer, though. If you had backup...
Well, that's what I want to do it is on my laptop. I want to do it on my Windows laptop.
Okay.
I want to bring iPhotos into Google Photo. Then I want to put them... Or I could put them into Google Drive on my phone.
Yeah, you could.
But it seems like I have to do every individual picture as opposed to a whole album or...
Yeah, well, it's... files, so you'll have to deal with them as a bunch of files.
So downloading of a file.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Are you using Google Drive in a browser? What do you got there?
Yeah, it's a browser.
Yeah, okay. That's why I use it in Chrome. I'm in
Chrome. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Okay, yeah, you can multi-select.
By clicking that.
And you can drag. I'd be careful where I drag. I do that out of habit. What happens if I just start dragging here? Yeah, it's so if you grab the file in the wrong place, it thinks you want to drag and drop it. So
cut and paste.
Well, like if I was gonna take a file and put it in a folder. So what you want to do is you want to start your dragging a box from way over off to the side. Are you seeing my screen well enough to understand what I'm doing?
I am.
Okay, so way over here in the nothingness. But still inside this list, I click and hold the button. I'm dragging this box.
Ah, yes.
You see, and I'm able to multi-select a number of files. And then when they're selected like that, I can click on them with the right mouse button.
Yeah.
And I can make a copy. I can download. What happens if I download? I'm thinking, yeah, it puts it into a zip archive. That's what I was thinking it did. It takes all of them, zips it into an archive, and then it downloads the archive. And then you can open up the archive and dump all those photos into your photo program or wherever you want to have them.
I want to put them in Google Photo.
Yeah, so I think you'll have to go through that step. You'll have to bring them down into your computer and then put them up into Google Photos. Now, if that's the only reason, you may not even need to do backup and sync. You could probably take that folder of files that were zipped together. You could probably take those and drag them directly to the browser window of photos.google.com. When you're looking at your Google Photos through a browser.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Is, you know,
I think so. I think I can do that. But then they are zipped files.
Well, it's one zipped file of all the things you were downloading at the same time. So if you
Okay, you know when you look at your Google Photo, you've got a tiny little icon of the photo?
Yes.
The zipped ones are not that. They're a little
zip icon.
Like they're a little icon of the zip. They're not an icon of the photo. So it's really hard to organize and do because you have to open it to know what's it.
Yeah, in fact, I would look at the zip as like a suitcase in your traveling. You pack it all up, you take it to the new town, then you unpack it, and you live there. So you come to San Carlos in suitcases, but you don't live out of suitcases. So when you bring your photos from your phone wherever you're getting them out of Google Drive, you're bringing them to live in your Windows computer. And so you would unpack them and let them sit as individual files in your Windows computer. And then you would grab all those individual files and you'd stick them up into Photos.
And so the individual files, when I download them onto my computer, there's a storage they're stored on the hard drive.
Yeah, to come back here to my screen, you would stick them in a place like here's my File Explorer, and you would either create a folder, or you know what I would do is, no matter where you put them, I would put them through Windows Photos to add one more bit to this. You have Windows 10, you have a program, just like the Macintosh has a Photos program, Windows has a photo program. I sure feel comfortable sharing all my personal life. There's my haircut. You guys haven't seen my haircut. My COVID cut. I was forced to get a haircut. My wife's like, we're not having a quinceanero with you looking like that. So I had to go get a haircut. So here's Google Photos. And if I wanted to add a bunch of photos to my computer, I would open it up and then I would drag them into this window.
Wait a minute. You said Google Photos. That's Windows Photo.
Okay. Well, I misspoke. I meant Windows Photos. Yeah. If I was adding photos, I'm trying to think of a good example here. Let me just grab something. Let me do this. I've got some Mac photos that I took that are sitting on a backup drive here. I was moving them around for this video project I did.
Well, you were moving, but you're not moving now. You're frozen.
Oh, I am? What about my screen? Can you see my screen?
It's delayed, but yeah.
I'm going to switch.
Very blurry.
I'm switching into presentation mode here so you can, because I can do this right now. Okay, so what you're looking at on my screen are a series of folders that I've gotten into. And what I'm looking for is, here's some photos from Mom. She sent me some photos to help me with my presentation. And I want to add these to my, hold on a second. Okay. So this is a folder. Oh, mom's coming back in. So this is a folder of photos that my mom sent me for my video project. And I just want to store them in my Windows computer. So you can see them all listed here.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to multi-select them. Cheryl, from your point of view, I just downloaded these from Google Drive and I unzipped them in a folder. And now I'm just going to add them to Windows Photos. Oh, and it's not that easy, is it?
No.
It's not going to let me do it, is it? Look at that.
Yay!
I'm so mad.
You okay?
So have you, you're familiar with this then?
Since April, I have been trying to put things into stuff to assure myself that I have them. Paid all this money to get all these photo albums done, and I'm afraid that they're all going to just disappear out of this thing called iCloud.
Well, I'm really glad that we've ended up in this place, because I know how to do this, even though it's not that easy. I wish it was, but it's just not. So
There
is a way. There's an import up here. And so what I have to do is I have to say import from a folder.
Oh.
And so then I got to go find the folder. And so that should open a Finder window here shortly. Here we are. And I got to go back to where I already know I need to be. But these windows over here don't matter anymore, because this drag and drop stuff is not doing what we want it to do. And I got to come over here and look again to the location. Here I am in the project folder. And here's mom's photos. And this is the and this is a frustrating experience, because it doesn't show any of the photos, because I'm looking for a folder and a photo isn't a folder.
Right. So you have to change it to down there.
Well, you just have to change your perspective of what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So now we hit add this folder to pictures. And
will Google Photos have an insert or a
Google Photos does work the way I was describing. I'm really caught off guard that Windows Photos does not work that way. And I'm afraid what I just showed you as far as, here's the last import. That's not it. Where did that folder go? Is this not
that
the right way to do this?
No,
let me expand this collection. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. There they are right there.
And so then you're able to put those into your video one that you were telling us about last week. Like, it's working with the photos once they are saved somewhere.
Yes.
I want to make sure that it's easy to use, you know, to import and to post on Facebook or whatever.
So so this worked. I wish it had said things better to us. I wish it had held our hands better and explained what was happening, but it just did it. And so it added a folder called From Mom to my folder of pictures on my Windows 10 computer. What you're looking at here are all my different photo folders. And it added...
Are you going to be able to see them on another device? Can you put them into Google Photos and see them on another device?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, we could do that. We could make that part of what we're doing here. Let me go into... Boy, it's a good thing I don't do any illicit stuff. You guys get a real window into my world.
Cute babies.
Thank you. Always proud to show them off. photos.google.com. This is a Chrome browser. I'm already signed into the Chrome browser. You can see my icon in the upper corner. I'm already authorized. This is a copy of pictures from Emily's birthday. So we're going back over here. So that folder, I don't even think you have to worry about the import function because you deal with it with files. I could have dropped that folder myself into the pictures folder. But here's the folder that we're going to add from mom. And you see how I can just drop it?
Oh, okay.
And when I drop it, it's just going to import them. It's asking if I want original or high quality. I'm going to do high quality because I don't want it to count towards anything. Continue. And there it is. It's importing mom's pictures into my archive in Google Photos. 13 items were just added. Add to album. Just, I like to keep track of my stuff, so I'm going to create a new album.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier, doesn't it? Yeah.
And just for my organizational sake, we're going to say from mom.
By the way, your mom's been going in and out, and she's got two people in the same. She's in twice, and then she's not in at all, and then she's in once.
She's had
it's
issues.
It's been odd on this end of the computer. I keep getting, oh, snap. And now I have to reload.
Oh, gee.
I thought we had resolved that problem. You were having
apparently
that problem
not.
Before.
Yeah. Well, it's back.
It's back. Are you having any other internet issues? Maybe it's internet related.
No, we're not. Dad's off.
You might try a different web browser to see if you have a different experience. You did, and it's doing the same thing.
Not as often, but it's doing it.
Okay. Well, does that answer the question about the photos?
I think so. I just, it's not a smooth process, and it takes time.
Yeah, I think you have to deal, if it's in Google Drive, you have to deal with it as though it's files. And Google has its own way of dealing with files. You can multi-select like you saw. You can grab a whole bunch of them at the same time. And when it downloads in a zip archive. So then on your computer, you still have to deal with it like it's files. You don't deal like it's photos. At that point, you're dealing with an archive of files. So you have to extract those files out. And then if you want them in Google Photos, you're going to have to drag and drop them into photos.google.com.
Okay, so in my notes, I said the files in Google Drive have to be downloaded. And then they have to be extracted
from the zip archive.
And then somehow imported to Google Photo.
Drag and drop.
Oh,
you want to.
After they've been unzipped.
Yep. After they've been unzipped, they're sitting there on your computer in a folder. Then you need to drag and drop them. And if you've got them in their own proper folder, like maybe the name of the zip archive. Well, we're talking about files, not folders. I mean, I'm sorry. We're talking about files and folders, not photos. So when you talk about photos, you talk about albums. When you talk about files, you talk about folders. And so if you've got it all in a folder, you can drag and drop that one folder. Like you saw me do with the From Mom folder.
A folder full of photos?
Photo files, yes.
Okay.
But again, this is all file management stuff you're doing. It's not photo stuff. It's file management stuff. It doesn't turn into photo stuff until you get them into Google Photos or Microsoft Photos or Apple Photos. It's not a photo issue.
The whole thing started today with you recommending Google Photos. So this is what I'm trying to do is get them all into Google Photos before June 1st.
That is the goal now.
It's good to have deadlines.
Yeah. Does anybody have any questions on this topic? I'm happy to expand further on it. Or do demos of other things. Or show off pictures of my kids. Because I'm a proud puppy. Well, let me get back to my list of topics unless somebody has something they want to bring up now.
Did Jim Cunningham ever ask his question about a sci-fi recommendation?
But I never got an answer.
That did get out there. I wish I had one right off the top of my tongue. I'm trying to think of what my watch list is looking like right now. I can recommend some bad sci-fi. I've been watching the new Walking Dead Beyond Worlds. I don't know if you've paid attention to it, but The Walking Dead has done another spinoff, and it's all teen drama. So the cast is all like 18, 16 to just under 20-year-olds. There's a couple of like early 20-year-olds in it, but it's all teen drama in a zombie apocalypse. It's not tongue-in-cheek. They're not making fun of the apocalypse. It's just seeing the apocalypse from their perspective, having grown up in it. And so many of these people got into the zombie apocalypse when they were in like real young, like 11, 12 years old. And now it's so many years later. And they come from a community that was able to gate out the zombies and continue with life. So they had a bit of a high school upbringing. I can't believe I'm telling you guys about this. This is a horrible show. It's not a good show.
It as horrible when you said zombies.
More future oriented, but not necessarily apocalyptic.
Yeah.
Even apocalyptic is okay, just not zombies. Yes.
Well, I mean, to be fair, The Walking Dead is an exceptional show. At least in the first three, well, not the second season, but the first 3 to 5 seasons, it's great drama, a lot of character development. There's a real kind of soul searching of how you deal with each other, this bonding that happens between groups of people that are facing life and death struggles. It's really well done. It gets a bit campy in the last couple of seasons. In fact, my wife has just finally given up on it. She's like, this is just getting too ridiculous. This is way too out there. But that first 5-season run, with the exception of was it the second season or the third season? I'm thinking it's the third season that was really bad. But they brought in new writers, and it turned back into this amazing show. Mm. And
I thought we saw something about Terminator. Is there a new Terminator thing coming out or something?
Oh, if there is, I'm not remembering it.
What was the woman's name in Terminator?
Well, they did just recently do a new Terminator movie. What was the name of it? That had Arnold Schwarzenegger and it had Linda Hamilton in it. It just didn't do very well. It did well with Terminator fans.
Hmm.
But it just came out, right? I think it was a 2020 or 2019.
It was on Amazon Prime. I think I was watching Prime and there was an ad for something.
Here it is.
When I finished
Terminator Dark Fate 2020. And this is where Linda Hamilton came back to play that Sarah Connor role.
Connor, right.
Yeah. And I enjoyed the movie, but the critics didn't really care for it. It was a James Cameron. He's the one that really, that's his baby. He was director of the first movie, but he was writer and producer of Terminator 2, which is considered one of the best Terminator movies ever. But I was just looking over, what's my watch list? This might be embarrassing to bring up. Let me see. I use Track to keep track of what I'm watching.
Jim and Linda told us about The Octopus Teacher.
I've heard of that. I haven't seen it. That's on Netflix. Is that right?
I'm trying to think what the title was. My Teacher the Octopus. Fascinating documentary.
My Teacher.
I can no longer eat calamari. And I used to love it.
That means I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, I was going to say, we were eating calamari when they told us about it. They got this look on their face.
Here it is.
Calamari squid. Anyway.
My Octopus Teacher.
Right.
2020.
Squid aren't as smart.
Squid aren't as smart. Squid are food.
Yeah, maybe that's it. The squid are food. Octopus is another sentient being.
Well, that's great. I'm going to add that to my recommendation list for today, because it's a little bleak. We've got Ting as an app, and we've got my Teacher the Octopus, My Octopus Teacher. I'll even add the Terminator movie, because I enjoyed it. And maybe I will also add the really bad Walking Dead spinoff of Beyond Worlds. It might be bad enough to go look at.
Scott, I went back and watched Jason and the Argonauts the other day.
Oh, the original?
Just to see the animation.
The stop
The original,
action.
Absolutely.
That's an awesome movie.
But the stop animation. And it's even compared to today's animation, it's still very, very entertaining in that frame of mind. It was state-of-the-art stuff when they did it.
Yeah. Well, and that stop action is still being used. You know, they studied the stop action there in episode one in the original Star Wars and have done stop action in The Mandalorian. In fact, there's a recommendation that I could make. If you have access to Disney Plus, they have a series called Disney Galleries. And in that, it's an 8-episode documentary interview style of the making of The Mandalorian and all the choices that were made to put that show together. And that's easy to recommend. It's really entertaining. You get to know Dave Filoni really well. On Disney Plus, it's called Disney Galleries. It's a gallery or galleries? Disney. Gallery. It looks like the start of something that they're going to perpetuate with different programs. So when you look at the titling, it's Disney Gallery / Star Wars : The Mandalorian. And it's like, I think it's 8 episodes. And it cuts each episode into a topic. Like animation, sound, technology. But it's called Disney Gallery, and the focus is on Star Wars The Mandalorian. I suspect in the future we'll see a focus
years and
on...
Years ago.
Yes?
Years and years ago, when Lord of the Rings was had come out, there was a really good documentary on how they did all the special effects for the Lord of the Rings series. You know, how they made the Hobbit small and Gandalf huge, that kind of thing. It was really something to watch, too.
You're talking about the Peter Jackson trilogy, right?
Yes.
So
absolutely.
So we were big fans of that, and we bought the DVD box sets. And you could buy the 3 movies as a box set, but that's not really what I'm talking about. They had these. In fact, I wish I had one right at my hand. I normally have a shelf of DVDs here. But when you would buy one of these movies, it would come with 4 discs. And it was in the highest quality possible. So you had two discs per movie. That was the movie. It included, you know, commentary, director commentary, all that kind of stuff. But then you had two other discs that were appendices. And so it's got all the side information that you would need as a Lord of the Rings buff to know. And it included all the making. It had interviews with the cast. But it also had just gobs of material that made up the research for the movie from Tolkien. Maps and characters and different designs that were used. And it was a box. It was a thick box of discs you would get for each movie. This is somewhat of that nature in an online streaming style. Disney Galleries.
Interesting.
An easy recommendation. Very entertaining. Oh, and they...
Just as a sidebar, in 1967, when I was in university, I ran across the Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, and read it in a weekend, all three books.
Oh, show off?
it was the original num-bum binge.
I was wondering what happened to you, Bill.
I still have that box set, by the way.
Bill is self-identifying as a perpetual nerd from way back.
Oh, God. I was a nerd before nerds were cool.
But, yeah, well, so was I. So...
Yeah, but I got a little cooler over time.
Yeah. I don't think I could say that. I'm kind of at the same level. Mom, you'd have to comment on that. Wait, what are you saying, Mom?
I'm saying I have to get off. But first, what should I comment on?
Oh.
No, Scott being a nerd?
Yeah.
Yes.
Has he grown cooler with time, or is he still the nerd that he always was?
He's still the nerd he always was.
What was that, Pop?
You've gotten cooler, Scott.
Oh, thank you.
It helped you getting married.
Yeah. Yeah, thank
you. Yeah, we're glad about that.
Never gets old being told how much better I am now that I have a wife.
A wonderful wife.
You know, it just never gets old. But you guys are out of here?
Yeah. See you next week.
See you next week, Mom. Yeah. And that note, we probably do need to bring it to an end because we are a bit over time. And I actually have things on the agenda that I have to get to today, and I'm running out of time.
Scott, your mom just left, but I wanted to tell you that we were looking at the sunrise, sunset, and everything. And anyways, we were thinking about your mom and dad and wondering if they were in total darkness yet. So we looked it up. Oh, Alexa looked it up and told us their sunrise, sunset time. So a little communication between Alaska and Mexico, us in the middle here, we were comparing sunrise, sunset times because we were watching a live show of Mark's in San Carlos and wondering who else was in sunset and who else was in sunrise. Yeah,
that's neat. You know, I'll tell you, growing up in Anchorage, which is central Alaska, my fond memories are going to school in the dark and getting out of school in the dark. And sitting in classrooms, looking out the window while the sun would just come and go.
Yeah.
If you had any kind of activity after school at the school, you pretty much walked home in dusk.
Oh, that was the same even in southern Alberta. Like I would walk to school.
In the dark.
In a little village, yes, in the dark. And then I would walk home. It was usually, you know, 8 till 4 kind of thing.
Yeah.
But,
did your parents tell you had to be in the house by dark? It really limited my social abilities.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Take care.
See you, Jim. See you guys. Let's call it. Unless anybody has anything that needs to come up now, we'll save it for next meeting.
And would you be sure?
I am. Go ahead, Fred.
Would you be sure to get to the Apple stuff next meeting?
Yeah, let's spend some time talking about the new Apple stuff, because it's dramatically going to affect the PC market. I'm sure that was their plan, but whether we're aware of it or not. And I always enjoy spending time with you guys. Like I've said before, if you're having computer issues out there on the internet, I'm reachable. I can reach into your computer and help you with problems, Macintosh or PC, or even Linux, if that's what you need help with. You can get a hold of me using remote@internationalcs.net. I do remote services all over the internet. If you'd like to talk to me about other things like installations, give me a shout, scott@internationalcs.net. This has been the San Carlos Computer Club. You guys are the San Carlos Computer Club. I love meeting with you each week, and I can't wait to see you till next Tuesday at 10. Until then, you guys tech on, and we'll talk again then. Adios. Adios, everybody. See you later, Jim.